Are you hunting for a solution for your commercial or residential rooftop? Well, don't look any further than Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated. You can check out Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated at flawlessroofing.ca. You can also check them out on Facebook. Yes, on Facebook as well, under Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated. Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated has been in operation since 2012 and offers superior roofing solutions for both commercial and residential rooftops. Owner and operator Daniel Felice prides himself on working with only the top-of-the-line materials, including Lexcon and Lexcor products. With over 30 years of experience in the roofing industry, Flawless Roofing provides exceptional roofing solutions and is sure to exceed your expectations. Also, currently, Flawless Roofing is one of the few recognized EPDM installers in Northern Ontario. Check out their website, that's flawlessroofing.ca. Check out again their website, flawlessroofing.ca, or check them out on Facebook, Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated. You can contact them at 705-943-1777. Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated, offering superior roofing solutions for both commercial and residential rooftops. Flawless Roofing, protect your investments, start at the top.
Sports fans, hang those team jerseys or other collectibles in style with help from the guys at thesportdisplays.com, as they have you covered. Thesportdisplays.com. Hang it, display it, or show it off with the jersey mount. The jersey mount is an affordable, easy to install, and kick-ass way to decorate your man cave, dorm, home, or office. Went to a totally badass concert and want to show off some of your memorabilia? Yeah, the jersey mount can help you with that. Or how about that wrestling pay-per-view event or live show you recently went to and you want to show off that wrestling collectible in style? The jersey mount can help you with that. Or you want to represent your favorite sports team? The jersey mount has you covered. Installation is so fast and so easy, and the best part, you won't damage your wall. Pick up your jersey mount today over at thesportdisplays.com. Hang it, display it, or show it off with the jersey mount at thesportdisplays.com. Get yours today at thesportdisplays.com. thesportdisplays.com. One more time, thesportdisplays.com.
Booyah, and it's time for the Game Sports Show. It is your host, David McCaig Jr. This is In the Pocket, Season 6, Episode 7. In the Pocket is presented by the Game Sports Show, powered by the Game Entertainment and Media, sponsored by both SportsCenter Bar and Grill, Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario's best sports bar for 6 years in a row, and also sponsored by Flawless Roofing. Flawless Roofing has been in operation since 2012 and offers solutions for both commercial and residential rooftops. Check them out at flawlessroofing.ca. You heard that at the beginning and introduction of the show. As I mentioned, this is In the Pocket. It is David McCaig, and it will be yours truly for the first time ever on In the Pocket solo. Yes, David McCaig Jr. is going to be talking football by himself on this show. Putting on my big boy pants. And yes, there are other podcasts I've done solo, and I'm not going to name those sports because I know the football fans really dislike when I talk about the other sports that I'm participated in or talk about when it's not relevant to this current podcast. So I will skip that, but I want to make sure you check out thegamesportsshow.com. It is going through some updates currently right now, but the final product will be available soon. You will see on the episodes tab a little bit of an update, but I'm going to get into that more so in December. Also, check out the TGEM Network YouTube channel. That's just on YouTube, the Game Entertainment and Media. Make sure to subscribe and check out our recent uploads on TGEM. Here on In the Pocket today, it's going to be a bit more of a brief edition. Okay, I'm going to touch on a little bit of local. And when I'm talking about local football, I'm talking about Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Give a little bit of love. But that's going to be more towards the end of the podcast. I'm going to start and focus on the National Football League and also the CFL for the first and second portions of the show before the conclusion being the third part with a little bit of that love for local and discussing what's upcoming this week on the Game Sports Show. The Game Sports Show is powered by the Game Entertainment Media, and you already know where that is, okay? Don't need to dive into that once more. But I want to stress that here on this edition, we're going to get into as much as we can into short little time. So let's kick it off. here on In the Pocket. And I want to start off in the National Football League. And why I'm starting here is because of the pick'em. Usually with the pick'em segment, we save it for a last segment to kind of go out with a boom. But today we're going to change it up because I just feel like it. So get into the pick'em if anyone wants to be reminded. The pick'em is the segment of the show that myself, EJ Russell, Tyler Ouellette, and Justin Heichel, the four common panel members on the show, go through choosing who we think is going to win in the current week of football. Jamie Antonello, Matt Primo being more casual hosts do take part when appropriate, but mainly when we have the standings and the only registered four names in the standings are myself, EJ, Justin, and Tyler. So going to get to the standings going into this current week, which is week 12, Thanksgiving weekend. And yes, I didn't say happy Thanksgiving to all the American listeners because I was saving that for the end. But I know you're going to ask why I didn't do it. So you know what? I'm still going to go by that. I'm going to save that towards the end. Big week in football, not only because it's the holidays in the United States, because it's yet another pivotal week, week 12. It's already week 12 of the National Football League season. Going to the standings currently in the Game Sports Show Pick'em League. In first place with a massive week last week and remaining in first place. No joking around. EJ Russell at 101 points for the year. In second place, yours truly with the title Chugging Kegs. Now I still don't know why I went with that name this year. 92 points with a total of being 9 behind EJ. Hikes Picks in third with 90 and Tyler Ouellette with 81. Ouellette is 20 points back of first place. Ouellette has kind of been late on some picks. You could probably put an asterisk beside his. He's been quite busy, but doesn't matter. You got to put those picks in, Tyler. You know, it was competitive in the first couple weeks. We're all one game apart, switching spots. But one thing that really hasn't changed much is EJ, who is the defending pick'em champion, looking like he's having a strong chance to win this year. But going into last week, he was only up by just about a handful of points on yours truly. But a big week last week for EJ. But unfortunately, you're not going to hear his picks for you to maybe use on your betting time. So you only have me to choose, but I can promise you that you will have Heichel, Tyler, and EJ will make their picks on the pick'em, and you'll have to see the reactions next week on next week's edition of In the Pocket. So you get yours truly here. My picks for week 12, I got the Bills over the Lions, Cowboys over the Giants, Vikings over the Patriots. That was a little harder for me to choose, to be honest with you. The Buccaneers over the Browns, Titans over the Bengals, yet another hard one to choose. The Dolphins over the Texans, the Bears over the Jets. People are saying, well, the Jets are the favorite. Well, there's got to be an upset somewhere in a week, and this might be one of them. The Commanders over the Falcons, the Broncos over the Panthers, Ravens over the Jaguars, the Chargers over the Cardinals. Oh, I thought the Cardinals would be a bit more slam dunk picks each week this year, but incorrect. Seahawks over the Raiders, Chiefs over the Rams, 49ers over the Saints, Eagles over the Packers, and on Monday Night Football, I am picking the Steelers over the Colts. I haven't picked the Steelers in 4 weeks. I want everyone to know that. All right. It's been a little bit of time, and everyone knows that I do cheer for them outside of being a host. But I want to pick the Steelers. That's Justin Heichel's favorite team. Too bad he's not on the show here tonight. Well, with good reason. He just recently celebrated the birth of his daughter, and he's still occupied handling the newborn at the house. So we weren't here to be able to debate with me, my friend, but I'm sure you'll send me some messages after hearing this upload. But Steelers over the Colts. For the tiebreakers, I got the Steelers winning 24-21 over the Colts in that game. I got the Eagles beating the Packers 32-18. Now, the Packers are slumping. Eagles are hot this year. The slumps are going to continue for the Packers, okay? I know we got a lot of Packers fans in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, and Sault, Michigan, the Michigan area. Of course, you got the Lions fans and Packers fans. It really invades a lot of this area. Obviously, I think the Steelers fans have a good amount of love, too, which is great to see. And also the Cleveland and Cincinnati fans around the surrounding areas. And a lot of people like the Patriots, of course, because everyone loved Tom Brady. But the Packers and Lions getting the extra love in this region. And this week, I didn't pick either of them. I believed in the Lions a lot. I should have picked them the last couple weeks. But they're in tough against the Bills this week, okay? The Bills are going to come out very, very hungry. And they got that early start. Don't forget the Bills and Lions tomorrow at 12:30. Continuing with the National Football League, you know, the Eagles being 9-1, that's a very pleasant surprise for Eagles fans, okay? It's not what they expected. I don't think they expected a team to be bad. I don't even think I would say that I thought they were going to be bad this year. But to say that they're going to be 9-1, nah, I would have said you were crazy, because I don't think that would have made any sense for them to be. But I did think they might be more of the higher up in the division, but I thought the Cowboys would be running away with this division. But look at that division now. The NFC East was such a joke. Now it's more entertaining to watch. And away games, this is something really significant. The Eagles are 5-0 in away games. All right. Home is where they've lost their one game. Very interesting fact there. Okay, if you look at around the league, the Panthers, there's a team that hasn't won on the road throughout the entirety of the season. They've won their games on home field. If you look at other teams in other areas, a lot of their splits are pretty equal, except the Texans haven't won a game at home this year. My goodness, 5 straight losses. It's a tough time being a Texans fan. I think it might even be a tough time being a Browns fan. You've had so much optimism last year and all the change in the future, and that really hasn't been happening as they're tied at the bottom of the AFC North with the Steelers. But the Bills this year, I thought this would be a division that the Bills might lose just one game this year. The Dolphins are 7-3. There are some people that I see in Sioux, Ontario as well post a lot of love about the Dolphins. I've always had a soft spot for the Dolphins, and I truly think it's because they always beat Tom Brady when he was with the Patriots. I think that might be one of the reasons why. But you know what? The AFC East has been pretty exciting to watch this year. Very exciting to watch. The Jets have been a pleasant surprise. Dare I say it, even the Patriots. Every team in this division is on a quote-unquote winning streak. The Bills have won one, but the Dolphins and Patriots have won 4-3 respectively, and the Jets have lost one. This has been a division that's been kind of hot as of late. And if you look at other teams in other divisions, you know, the AFC South, the only team that wins basically, it seems like, is the Titans. No offense to Colts fans or any other fans. But the other divisions that have been, it's been pretty rotational the last couple weeks. In the Bears, a team that I picked to be an upset this week, that's why they've lost 4 in a row. I think they're going to try to change that fortune and get back on the on a winning track. But this is obviously not a, a playoff football team this year, and a team that has traded for Chase Claypool. Okay, Mapletron going from the Steelers over the Bears, and now that we won't have any TikTok dances on the Steelers, but the Bears are certainly not dancing their way at all to the postseason, it seems like. Okay, it seems like they're hibernating for the playoffs this season. Yes, I went on a lot of corny points there. Big surprise for me this year, the Rams. People have also told me that, Dave, that's not a surprise, okay? It is. It is to me. The Rams are 3-7. They are season off from winning the Super Bowl, right? They won it last year. And they're going to be lucky to even not finish last in their division this year. But still a good amount of time left. You're still 3 games-ish back of the Niners and Seahawks. But let's be real. You're probably not catching up. It hasn't been a pleasant time for the Rams. And it all started with the first game of the season. And if you look at Joe Burrow, remember his first game of the season against the Patriots? I mean, 5 interceptions? Kind of bounced back a little bit nicely. But I heard a point about the Bengals saying when they made the Super Bowl, that might be the last time that you see the Bengals get there for quite some time. I actually thought maybe that was an insane statement, but it almost makes sense. It's, are they truthfully a Super Bowl team? If you look at other teams in the AFC, they're not better than the Bills. I don't even know if they're better than the Dolphins. Okay, sorry if I'm saying that. I don't think they're better than the Titans. I really don't think they're better than the Ravens, and they're not better than the Chiefs. And you look at the NFC, so obviously the Rams are going to be, or sorry, the NFC in general, sorry. There's teams from the NFC East that are running away, but I still don't think the NFC East is going to be the team coming out of that side. You know, the Buccaneers and Falcons battling out for the NFC South for, it seems like, the toilet division this year. But you can't doubt Tom Brady. The Vikings have been good to watch this year. The NFC is wide open. It could be anybody's championship. But you look at the AFC East, or the AFC East, West, you look at the North, South, whatever it may be, the top teams in that division are rightfully where they are. And the Chiefs are looking like the, I guess you could say, the juggernaut in that still. But I really thought the Bills would take that step, and I really hope they do. I just want to take some time to kind of go back and forth about so many different points of football. I know after I went through the pick'em, I touched on a lot of teams and a lot of points. But that's what makes this edition fun. It's me talking myself using airtime. All right. Let me know what you think below about the overall league this year. If you're enjoying it, if it's going by too fast for you, maybe if you're still that at the same prediction that you thought beginning of the year was going to make the finals in the AFC or the NFC, let me know if your prediction still stands. I'm still standing by mine. Okay, I definitely got a soft spot for the Bills this year. I Bills Mafia, close to heart. A lot of Bills fans this area, too. I forgot to mention that. They're probably already getting angry at me hitting the button. But I know we have the Bills Helmet Bar, who's a follower of the Game Sports Show. Check that out on Instagram. It's really cool. It's a friend that I've got connected with, and his son runs that. It's terrific. Check it out. A lot of recognition from the Bills on that, actually. So this is Dave McKeag. This is the In the Pocket segment presented by the Game Sports Show, powered by the Game Entertainment and Media. We're on season 6. Yours truly doing the show independently. This show is sponsored by the Sports Center Bar and Grill. That's the Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario's best sports bar 6 years in a row, and also Flawless Roofing. Okay, make sure you check out flawlessroofing.ca for your commercial and residential rooftop solution needs. Now, let's transition into the Grey Cup. Yes, the Grey Cup. For the first time, it's going to be yours truly talking about the Grey Cup on the show. And as I look it up on Google, because the fireworks are going off, so it makes me feel a little bit more excited to talk about it a bit more. And the Toronto Argonauts are the recent winners of the Grey Cup, of course, 24-23 over the favored Winnipeg Blue Bombers. But fun fact, did you know the Toronto Argonauts have won the most Grey Cups with 18 titles? I knew that. I actually didn't have to look at Google for that, but I know that because I'm a Toronto fan, and a lot of people know how I feel about the other Toronto teams. The first award came in 1909, okay, and this was the 109th Grey Cup. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And it was such an amazing game. Even though there was football games going on, the National Football League, even those in America were watching this game. The feedback that I saw on Twitter, it was an exciting football game. 24-23, a blocked, a kick at the end, you know, made it a bit more exciting. You know, the 3-0 after the first, like, oh, this game might be quiet. Oh, then the Bombers come out. Then the third, they're all tied, but then the Argonauts wait until the fourth quarter to dig deep and get that dub. And the Argonauts, what I was really impressed with, okay, is if you look from a passing perspective, Chad Kelly had 0.4 for 6, but obviously you look at Bethel Thompson. He throwing 203 yards, no interceptions. Very key, very key. And obviously Ouellette had a very strong game on the ground. And obviously Cam Phillips in receiving was a monster for the Argonauts, just under 100 yards. But big thing is Zach Galeros. You know, he threw an interception. You had Dakota Prickup throw up an interception. Again, the rushing game with Dakota Prickup, he had 2 touchdowns, and obviously he's rushing for the Blue Bombers, and the ground game was really effective in this. From a receiving end, they weren't as dominant. Their highest receiver was Dalton Schoen, had 78 yards. So from the ground was really, I guess, effective for both teams. 2 touchdowns, that's 14 points out of the 24 and the 23, respectively, to have success, okay? And you also have punt returns in the game. You had Jarnan Grant get a punt return in that game with the Bombers, okay? And overall, you had field goals from Boris Bede getting field goals. Like, there was long kicks. He had his longest kick, I believe, was just under 50 yards. I believe it was 46 yards, if I remember correctly from watching it. And each moment of the game, which was fast-paced, it took some time to get there. But overall, it was still very exciting. And the Argonauts getting the dub. The Blue Bombers are feeling the sting with that. Your favorites to win, right? But the Argonauts were the team that came out on top because I feel like they just had that extra edge. They had that extra oomph, you know? And they showed that extra oomph to get the win. And I really feel that the Argonauts, when they did win, it showed that it doesn't matter if someone is a favorite. Anything can happen in the game of football. And the Toronto Argonauts walking away Grey Cup champions. I want to know what you thought of the game and what you felt were the key moments in the game. My key moment, like I said, was the running on the ground. It was just so effective with both teams getting those touchdowns, despite whatever yardage. How far you were. The ground game was the effective side. And just the defensive side of the football, 24-23, it's maybe doesn't seem like too big of a defensive showdown, but the teams battled until the end. And a fun fact about that, my full-time job, I work for a company that is based out of Winnipeg as their head office, and a lot of them in their office were saying, go Bombers, go. And for me, I'm somebody who cheers on every Toronto team. Everyone knows that. Okay, now if an NFL team ever moved over to Toronto, would I leave the Steelers? No, I could never. But it'd be hard not to cheer for Toronto, right? But I was obviously cheering for the Toronto Argonauts, and I did send some good luck to the Bombers tonight. I think Toronto's coming on top, but it was the chirps saying, "Oh, the Bombers got this. We're favorites. We got this." The confidence was just so high from the Bomber fans. You know, the confidence was really high. And it felt like Toronto fans actually kept a neutral ground. That never happens in Toronto sports. But it was very exciting for the Argonauts to get the win and have a championship go to Toronto, despite not being a major core sport, as people would call it. The Canadian Football League deserves to be watched, and this Grey Cup was fantastic to watch. And yes, I was flipping back and forth. I was also doing renovations on my house, listening to the game, going back and forth. And I remember I was able to watch the second half more so in its entirety than the first half and looking at all the news reports after the game. But what really impressed me was not just the running game, but the excitement of the game back and forth. It was great. Congratulations to the Toronto Argonauts for being Grey Cup champions and again winning their 18th title. And I guess when you have as many teams as you do in the Canadian Football League, maybe that isn't as high as a number as it maybe it should be, but it's still to be number one. You're still number one for a reason. Now, football in the local perspective, okay? I'm going to get to this in just a few moments. It'll be very, very brief. So firstly, again, this is In the Pocket. It's David McKeag, and this edition is sponsored by SportsCenter Bar & Grill, Sammy Ontario's best sports bar, and Flawless Roofing. Presented by The Game Sports Show and powered by The Game Entertainment and Media. There is a program in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, in terms of football, and it's called Core Football. And Tom Annett, somebody who has actually coached the Sir James Dunn football team for many years. That's where I went to high school, was the Sir James Dunn. I went to Basel's, which is another school that's not around anymore, makes you feel older, for 2 years, but then I transitioned over to the Dunn. And I remember meeting Tom Annett first in my leadership class. Yes, I took a leadership class as an elective. And Tom Annett, I felt at first, this guy is really sports-driven, right? He's a very, very intimidating individual, football player build, strong guy, really athletic, really passionate. And I actually thought, oh, my God, I'm afraid to say no to this guy. You know, I remember Tom did ask me, Dave, do you ever have any interest in playing football? And it's not because he saw me play and I was good. No. He just thought because of a sport that I played, I'm not going to say the sport, that I was more of an all-around athlete, but to be honest, I was not an all-around athlete, more so in high school. I got better at playing sports as I got older and playing more of the men's league cooperation. But jokes aside, the football was really good at the Sir James Dunn. And Tom Annett did a fantastic job with that program. They had a very, very good team. I can name guys like Robert Ramsey, Jesse DiPetrillo, Max Sullivan. Now, I'm sure that a lot of you listeners that are outside of Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, probably hit the mute button, switch the channel. I encourage you not to yet because I'm going to get to my point. The thing is, Core Football is now what Tom Annett does. After the Sir James Dunn, he didn't go to Superior Heights like a lot of teachers from the Dunn did, which I believe. He went over to Cora. And this program in Cora, they are three-peat champions for a reason. Okay, they have won. They win in junior football, which they have this year. They won senior football. They don't know what losing is in football. In Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, in terms of high schools, you have Cora, you have Superior Heights, you have St. Mary's, you have White Pines and Cass. Those are the areas. But in terms of participation in sports, the core schools that get the attention and you know, get the players to come out are Cora, Mary's, and Superior Heights. Just going to say how it is. Those are the three schools that get that. And Cora actually played a game in the United States last year. Okay, they played, I believe, just outside of Escanaba, if I remember correctly. I should have pulled that up. And they didn't win the game. But the feedback from the school in the United States was very positive. And now, anyone who is from the United States, I'm going to tell you right now, your high school sports in general are just superior, okay? But when it comes to football, your program is funded more. There's more budget. It's a lot more, I'm not going to say it's a lot more serious because Tom Annett and a lot of our schools here in the Sioux run a very tight ship, but it's a complete different layout. So when Cora goes and plays a team from the United States, for example, another high school, the expectancy is the team from the United States will win that football game. But Cora did not go down without a fight, and that explains what they are to a T. Tough people win, TPW. And I'm sorry to Superior Heights and Mary's. I'm not giving you the extra love right now. Unfortunately, we didn't talk a lot of local football this year, so I didn't get the chance to talk about the other schools as much. So Cora, who is still currently playing, by the way, is the one that it's getting the love. Just so everybody knows, if it's Sioux, Ontario, you think I'm playing favorites. I'm not. It's just the fact right now about who's still playing. But Cora is going to OFSA this upcoming week, the week of November the 28th. Okay. Before I get to that point, I want to just finish my other point that it's competitive football all around here, and Tom Annett does a tremendous job about talking not only about the TPW and putting that in full gear and showing that on social media. Their social media is fire, by the way. Okay, I need to maybe bring him on board to enhance our social medias for the Game Sports Show. But they do a fantastic job as a program, not only success, but they raise respectful kids in the terms of the athletic world. Obviously, they're raised by their parents. That's not what I mean. But they, from grade 9, 10, 11, 12, or even grade 13, if you do a victory lap, Tom Annett and the crew there at Cora have it down pat. They have respectful kids, as do Mary's and Superior Heights. I'm not saying they don't. We have a very good community of teachers that do very well with their students. But I'm talking about Cora right now. And the big part of their success comes from that Tom Annett and the buy-in to his program. It's fantastic. Check them out, Cora Football, on Instagram. And Tom, you can send the Cora payment to the Game Sports Show for that 5 minutes of talking or so. Send it directly to me. Jokes aside, no. Tom Annett and the crew there at Cora do a fantastic job. So I'm here to talk about the OFSA. So Cora is going to OFSA. There is games, and it is at the University of Guelph, the game. So Guelph is when when OFSA is. It's on the 28th, 29th, and 30th are their scheduled games. They play at 10 a.m. each game. Okay, they have the first day, second day, and third day, and they play at Alumni Stadium. And you can actually get tickets. So if you go to the football page on Instagram for Cora, there's a link in their bio that you can click, and it brings you right to there. If you're traveling in the area, or you're in Guelph right now and you want to watch some good, or if you're in that surrounding area, you want to go watch OFSA football, you can get tickets. Game one at 10 a.m. is the Central Bowl. It's St. Patrick's against St. Roche. Game two is Simcoe Bowl, 1:30, Holy Trinity against Bear Creek. Game three, the Metro Bowl, is Chaminade College and Resurrection CSS at 5 o'clock. For day two, you have Thomas A. Stewart against St. Michael's College at 10 a.m. You have Western Bowl at 1:30. It's Huron Heights against Sir Wilfrid Laurier. And then game three at 5, you have Ann Miner against Bishop Tonos High School. For the third game, that's on day three, that's when you have Northern against St. Matthews. You have Bell River against Frontenac. And then you have Cora against Jacob Hespler. Okay, so Cora is playing on the third day, which is Wednesday the 30th, but they go down on the Monday for the travel, from what I'm understanding. And you can get the tickets online, as I mentioned. There's also a three-day pass, and at OFSA, it's $11 per day pass, and there's also group passes as well that are $8. So Cora is playing. All the updates will be available online there as well. So good luck to Cora and OFSA this upcoming week, the week of November the 28th. That was fun doing the first social show. I hope you enjoyed it. I had a good time here with the In the Pocket edition presented by the Game Sports Show, powered by the Game Entertainment and Media. The Game Sports Show, TGSS, start remembering that. The Game Entertainment and Media, TGEM, start remembering that. I want to remind listeners that we're on all platforms for the Game Sports Show. Okay, Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, you name it. And we are back on Podbean. Yes, I will be doing an announcement on the Podbean site in terms of having additions back on there and just an overall upload on all platforms, how some future shows are going to look like going into, yes, I'm going to say it, the new year. January 2023, we are going to have some new formats coming in place that you'll actually be able to see on our new updated website very soon as well. Our Monday show for the Game Sports Show that used to be on 1400 AM radio, to be honest with everybody, we did not hear back. After multiple reach outs from my end and Butch Davis, and that's not a chirp. That's not trying to be disrespectful or shoot anything over to them. We just did not hear back from them in terms of any updates about the live radio show continuing. They are probably going through some transitions. There's a lot to go through ever since the passing of Scott Nason. But the Monday show is to go on just like how Scott would want it. And myself and Butch Davis are going to be continuing the Monday show. And that will be resuming on December the 12th. It'll be the full show. We do plan a mock show, quote unquote, kind of like a pilot show on December 5th. However, it is expected that our Monday shows will return December the 12th, and it will have a different name, but will be presented by the Game Sports Show and TGM. You're going to start hearing that a lot. You're going to hear the title of a show presented by TGSS, powered by TGM, just so everybody is aware of that. So myself and Butch will be returning with the Monday show, where we are going to talk about local sports in the Algoma and Michigan region for the first segment of the show. Then the second segment of the show, I will bring Butch in to talk national sports, more so in the Detroit area in particular. So following essentially the same format that we used to have on Monday radio, continuing the legacy that Scott Nason has left for us to continue. Again, check out recent editions of the Game Sports Show on thegamesportsshow.com and all platforms. This week, we do anticipate to have a Top Shelf edition. Top Shelf will be having yours truly host. However, there might be a transition in terms of whom is hosting that show. We also plan to have a Strike Zone edition upcoming the next couple weeks. Will be our last one of the season. But still sticking to this week with Top Shelf, there will be a full-time edition uploaded and recorded either Thursday night or Friday morning. So you have two more shows this week to look forward to for sure, besides In the Pocket. And don't forget, we'll have Butch Davis's uploads as well on all of our platforms. So you got Butch upload this week remaining, you got full time, and we expect a Top Shelf edition as well. So lots of content to check into for the Game Sports Show. Again, this has been the In the Pocket edition. It's been your host, David McCaig Jr., talking In the Pocket, and it's been a great time being able to talk. Hey, don't hesitate to leave me feedback. Let me know what you thought about me doing this show for the first time independently. And as mentioned, it was a brief edition. I was supposed to keep it around a half hour, and I think I hit that mark according to my notes. So make sure you hit like, follow, subscribe on the platform, and hopefully you enjoyed this episode presented by the Game Sports Show and the Game Entertainment Media. It has been In the Pocket Season 6. Episode 7 of In the Pocket. I'm here to remind you to keep your stick on the ice, swing your bats, catch your touchdowns, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.